For 8 years, the Farm Security Administration, part of the New Deal, sent photographers to many states to document rural poverty. The idea was that these photographers, including many of the 20th century's most respected, like Dorothea Lange and Walker Evans, could help the rest of the country understand the peril many of their fellow Americans faced during the Great Depression. Patsy Watkins has selected many of the Arkansas images collected during those 8 years in her new book, It's All Done Gone, Arkansas Photographs from the Farm Security Administration Collection, 1935 to 1943, published by the University of Arkansas Press. She'll discuss the book Wednesday evening, beginning at 6, at the Fayetteville Public Library. Patsy Watkins says her interest in these photographs extends back to her time in graduate school at the University of Texas. And she says many of the photographs in her book are connected to a crop that was instrumental to an Arkansas way of life in the 1930s, cotton.
The United States really commanded the international cotton market during World War I and after World War I. But by about, let's say the mid-1920s, other nations started to catch up in raising cotton. And whereas Arkansas farmers and other farmers had been getting maybe, let's say, 22 cents a pound for their cotton, which was good, suddenly this increased competition from other growers, plus the introduction of other fibers, such as rayon, let's say, really cut the market. And so by the early 30s, they were getting maybe a nickel a pound. Now, that's a pretty
75% of your income.
Exactly. That's a pretty big hit. And so you can imagine the impact this has on a family, on a farm family that is depending on that income to pay their bills and then to carry them through the next year. And so a lot of people wound up losing their farms to the bank.
And so not surprisingly, when these photographers are in Arkansas, many of the photos portray this cotton culture.
Yes.
Bringing the cotton sacks, weighing them, getting paid.
The Farm Security Administration guy, let's say, who ran the photo program, his name was Roy Stryker, and he was the one who would give the assignments to photographers. And he was very clear on instructing these photographers to go out and cover cotton. And he would give them all sorts of materials to read to prepare them for this. In fact, there was one photographer who came on to work for the FSA, and Stryker was going to send him out to take photographs of cotton. And at the last minute, he thought, no, wait a minute. And he asked the guy, he said, so what do you know about cotton? And the guy said, well, you know what right. I need to know. And so Stryker pulled him back and made him stay for several days and read books and have conversations with him about cotton so that he would know what he was going to get into.
Stryker took this, and the photographers took this very seriously.
They did. Mm-hmm.
There was one photographer, Ben Shawn.
Ben Shawn.
Who had a right angle viewfinder?
Two or three other people did, too.
Okay.
But yes, what he did was he would fix this to the front of his Leica camera, which is a small handheld camera popular for photographers at the time, professional photographers. And what it permitted him to do was to look in one direction while focusing on a subject in another direction. So the subject would not know that he or she was being photographed. And it was his way of trying to catch people unawares in what he thought of as a natural shot.
These photographers, maybe we don't know this, did they think of this as art because the compositions and the cropping? I mean, these are some beautifully, not staged, but some beautifully shot images.
Well, the interesting thing is that a number of these photographers came from an art background, such as Ben Shawn. In fact, he is probably better known as a printmaker. Also, I believe Walker Evans has some art training. Russell Lee had art training. And Dorothea Lange came from a lot of photographic training. So I think they naturally approached their job thinking about the kind of images that they were taking. And there is a sense, too, when you see the interviews with these people, that many of them felt like an artistically strong photograph made an overall stronger photograph and would have greater appeal.
There are some just heartbreaking images of poverty. And there's one that is somewhat famous. I think it was Ben Shahn who took it, and it's an Ozarks family that he describes as destitute, I believe, mm-hmm. in, I guess, what we call now sort of a jalopy. You know, you think of The Grapes of Wrath, the John Ford movie, mm-hmm. and they're all looking at the camera. It's a family, I think three children mm-hmm. and two parents, and they're in overalls, and it's just, it's almost, there are several pictures where we're seeing everything these people own with them.
Right, right. I know that picture, and that's certainly one that has always, it stays in my mind because I think the father looks so, he just looks so down. He looks so desperate. And the little boy does too. And yes, you look at that image and your heart goes out to these people. And the photographers, several of the photographers who were interviewed about 20 or 30 years later, talked about the reactions that they would have to the people they photographed. Yes, and they said things like Dorothea Lange said that she was amazed at the courage that she saw. Mm. Over and over, she said it was just remarkable how people were really courageous. And she used that word two or three times trying to describe this sense that she felt. And also Russell Lee talked about this. And he said that people just seemed to never give up. They always had hope. You know, if you could get through today, if you could get through this afternoon, tomorrow things could be better.
There's really interesting juxtaposition of structure, because there are some homes and shacks that just look like they're going to fall down any minute. In fact, someone once wrote that someone's house, you could study astronomy through the roof and geology
right.
through the floor.
Right.
Then you go to these resettlements, mm-hmm. Dice and Lake Dick, where mm-hmm. they're trying to bring, I guess they were trying to bring families from places that had been hard hit by the Dust Bowl or the floods to places that were more fertile.
Yes, the resettlement farms. This was a part of the Farm Security Administration programs to help farmers, and so the agency, the FSA, the agency was very interested in showing Americans. Then, after they'd showed them how poor these people were, then they were interested in showing them what the government was doing to help them, and how well these people were doing, and so. In this particular program, what the government did was to go to a state like Arkansas and buy up large tracts of land, several thousand acres, and then divide them into farms of perhaps 40 acres, 60 acres, mm-hmm. and they would develop the land, they would improve the land, they would put a house on it, they would put a barn on it, and then they would interview and select farm families who had suffered because of the Depression, but who also could show that if given a chance, they could succeed. They were considered worthy, and they would select these people to then move onto these farms, and then the government would give them other assistance to get them going. Now, these resettlement farms, I think there were 16 in Arkansas. There were 200 nationwide. And Arkansas had more than any other state. Hmm. Kind of interesting. Yeah.
The images of those houses that are on the resettlement farms, screen door and couches, those are
right.
prominent. Like, I guess those were things that were pretty much if not a luxury, but things that would really improve the standard of living.
Oh, absolutely. And an interesting thing about these houses and the government's approach to them was that if you would take people who were living in a substandard situation and who were probably uneducated and so forth and had poor eating habits, and you put them in this new house, they would, they were working with behavioral modification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They put them in this new environment, new clean environment. They gave them access to clean water. They taught them about nutrition, and they tried to turn their lives around that way. So the houses were key. It wasn't just the land, although that was important. The houses were key to this.
Do you know if the photographers among themselves or with folks back in Washington ever had conversations about or concerns about exploitation? Did they ever wonder if they were crossing a line?
Some of the photographers talked about that, and Roy Stryker was actually concerned about that. And he, in fact, in his later years when he was interviewed, he said he had often worried about whether they were doing some sort of exploitation. But he felt like this was such an important program that it was so vital to show the rest of the country what was going on. So that was one of his thoughts. Another one was that he really trusted his photographers to treat people well. And there are a couple of examples, even such as Dorothea Lange. She always was very warm and outgoing to the people she photographed. She was known to sit down with a person she was thinking about photographing, to sit down with them and ask for a glass of water and just kind of take a sip from it every now and then and just talk with them and really get to know them. And Russell Lee was known to be a very personable fellow, very congenial. He could charm people. And so Stryker was very confident about people like that and that they were treating their photo subjects the right way.
These are beautiful images in this book. Hats off to University of Arkansas Press.
Oh, absolutely.
The production here is amazing. I think it's the last section are portraits.
Yes.
Individuals, maybe on their porch or something like that. And these are some of the most beautiful photographs I've ever seen. And maybe I'm, putting a little bit too much romanticism into it, but it looks as if the photographers were very concerned about, dignity's not the right word, but making sure they caught them in a comfortable position and they don't seem staged. They seemed as if these were people you might have known.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's a sense of respect for the people they're photographing, and I think they do give them their dignity. I think that we are inclined today, and people were in the 1930s, to look at folks who were in these kinds of situations, living in these kinds of conditions, as we look at them if we see them at all, but we see them as a mass. They are
the poor.
Right. Exactly. What these photographers did was present them as individuals, as people who they were humans, just like the rest of us. And they had a soul and they had a life. They had an emotional life beyond their poverty. And they were due that respect.
Finally, I feel like I'm the preacher and you're the choir here. I think you're going to agree with me because knowing what your career has been about images and graphics and what they mean to us. But Dorothea Lange, late in the book, you quote her about how these photographs made us as a country confronted us with self-examination, mm-hmm. and that it's a good yes. idea mm-hmm. to do that. This had to hammer home, as you were spending so many hours and days and months and years with these mm-hmm. images, that that's what really professional, wonderful photography does. It makes us reexamine who we are.
That's a very interesting thing. Yes, she did see it that way, and she put it very well. She said, we have to dare to look at ourselves. And in fact, that line was picked up by Anne Whiston Spern and used as a title for a book about Dorothea Lange, Daring to Look. And when Dorothea Lange was interviewed, I think 2 or 3 years before she died, and she was talking about this, and she said, you know, I think, and this was in the 60s, she said, I think that it would be a valuable thing to do right now.
And
if we could, you know, to have this kind of project so that we could really, if we could dare to look at ourselves.
And, of course, we have more photographs now than ever before because of our phones, but it's not the same.
You know, when you're inundated with images, what do you look at? Mm-hmm. What becomes special? So much is special.
Right.
And color, too. You know, we expect color. And these photographs are black and white. And that has a very different effect.
And the subjects are literally black and white.
Exactly.
We have Arkansans mm-hmm. hit by poverty who are African-American and who are white.
Yes.
And what this book really does is, at least through the images, yeah, we're all the same.
Exactly. There were, I think the African-American population of Arkansas then was about a quarter of the population was African-American. And in the photographs in Arkansas, I would say close to half are of African Americans.
Finally, when you do the presentation at the Fayetteville Public Library on the 26th, will there be images?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Sure. We'll talk about some of these pictures and what makes them good.
Mm. It's All Done Gone, Arkansas Photographs from the Farm Security Administration Collection, 1935 to 1943. Patsy Watkins, congratulations. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Patsy Watkins' book is It's All Done Gone, Arkansas Photographs from the Farm Security Administration Collection, 1935 to 1943, and that book is published by the University of Arkansas Press. She'll discuss the book and show images from it at the Fayetteville Public Library Wednesday evening, beginning at 6:00.